Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All righty. Are we live? Yes, we are. Oh, my gosh. Today, we've got a topic for you. You know, some people say you can go with the light side. Some people we can go say you can bet with the dark side. But what about these people who try to stay on both sides of the fence? One foot in the water, one foot on the shore. That's what we're going to be talking about. That's hedging, and it's coming up right now.
Welcome to the Color Up Podcast. Whether you're a seasoned player or a beginner eager to step up to the table, this is your lucky podcast that's all about the thrill and strategy of the casino world. I'm your host, Jeremy. With me is Jim the Professor. Let's get rolling.
Well, Jim, we're back for another exciting one.
Yes.
We had some technical setup that I think we got through.
We got through it all.
We made it. We should be live on all these different platforms and ready to rock and roll. So how was your week?
It was a great week. First full week of school. Our first 2 weeks were 4 days each, and then last week was a 5-day. Had a big all-school assembly football game on Friday night, which we won, and then the big thing for me today was I played soccer today. My soccer team won. We're 2-0 in the OTSL VB over 50 league, and I played great. If I did, you know, give myself a pat
there
on
you
the
go.
Back.
Okay, yeah, MVP.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it was very good. How about your week? What'd you have going on? A lot of videoing or what'd you do?
Editing, trying to get ahead of things because I like. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I followed my kid around Northern California, Stockton, and, you know, she had multiple. Don't even listen to that. It's multiple volleyball games and that sort of thing. And that's what I did. Although we have to mention football.
Yes, we do have to mention football because. Your team won, right?
It did, but yours, sadly,
lost. And we lost a quarterback.
That poor guy. I mean, what do you think about that? So he got another concussion.
Yes, and maybe I'm, you know, with the wisdom of 57-year-old man, but I think he needs to hang it up. I'm sure he's got some insurance, he's got some money, and I think he needs to go ahead and just hang it up. So
that's got to hurt for that team because, I mean, who's your backup, right? I mean, they were totally relying on
Skyler something. But yeah,
I mean, he's a franchise quarterback. Like, you can't just move on from him that easily.
I think you have to for health sakes. I mean, what are you going to see him carried off and he's going to be in a home the rest of his life? He's got a family and everything else. He has a propensity. Thank you, Skylar Thompson. Thank you, Gio. And hey, Demon Dog. Yeah, you got to do it for his own health's sake, for his family, somebody, his wife, his mom and dad, whatever. And the other thing is, when he went and dove head first, he had already had the first down yardage. He should have just, you know, backed it up, did the slot.
Yeah, it wasn't smart by him. But I just wondered, like, I saw scrolling across the bottom of the screen today that he is not going to retire.
I did see that.
And I mean, like, I get it. Like, that's your life. Like, what else are you going to do? you know, as long as you wait, I don't know how long it's going to, he's going to be out, a few weeks, a year, you know, I guess your brain doesn't really recover. It's just, it is what it is from going forward.
He has a propensity to have
the year before he was a mess.
And he's going to keep having them. I just don't see how you can do it.
But whose decision should it be? Is the NFL and Dolphins could say, bro, you're done? Or does he get to decide for himself, like, can I have one more? Like, I mean, I don't know.
Can the NFL afford to have him wheeled off? And then, you know, because we had all this stuff about concussions and stuff everywhere anyway, and they had everybody going after him a couple years ago, and that's kind of subsided a little
bit. They changed multiple rules because of him.
Yes, the kickoffs right now are definitely one of the big things, the collisions on those. But even still, I think either he has to do it, they put the squeeze on him, or it's a medical doctor decision that's going to say something like, hey, look, guy, we recommend that you can't do it and you're on the physically unable to perform list or something like that. And then he gets a check and then he goes on with his life and maybe coach a high school team.
I would hope he at a minimum gets a check, you know, because I'd feel bad if they're like, well, now we get to void your contract somehow. Or I understand they shouldn't have to pay them the whole thing necessarily. Mm-hmm. Guaranteeing contract.
Guarantee is a guarantee, right?
Right. So, but if it's guarantee and then some outside source says, I don't know why.
Yes. Thank you, Shooters Crabs.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. It should be fine. I'm going to bring myself down and you turn your overall volume up because I think I'm...
Should I turn anything? Is there anything
you
can
do? No, it should be sending out normal.
And so, I'm eating the microphone.
It's
weird.
I'm pretty sure my output settings are the same.
Let me go look on my settings, make sure the mic didn't change to the...
because we were doing a lot of stuff.
But
anyway, so one of the Browns players today had one of those like bubble practice helmets on during the game.
Oh, really? Maybe that's what he needs.
Yeah. And I know some guys were saying, hey, I'm not going to wear it. It's not cool looking. And it's not. It's not cool looking at all.
No.
Sounds good. So it is like... It is weird to see him with like, it almost looks like he has like a Lego helmet. It's just extra giant padding, but I don't blame him. I guess you got to do what you got to do. You don't want to end up like Tua. So what, I mean,
yeah, it's time to, it's,
it will look weird.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? I don't know.
And it was so cool watching him do the offense with all the little fake moves. It was almost like basketball meets football. And I love the whole thing, but
he was a fun player, but it's a sad situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, they kind of messed up. They let it go too far I guess 2 seasons ago, right?
When they had those two back to back and they let him play.
That kept,
you know, each one you have, I think you have a propensity to have another one there. So anyway.
All right. I think most people are saying it sounds good. So,
okay. Well, that's good. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate the feedback. It is helpful because, you know, we're only like 16, 17 weeks into this. But we've been today
week 150. Week 150. We're going to have it nailed down.
This is the first week on this particular software because I just got so frustrated with the support and help from the other ones. So.
Mm-hmm.
Tua should retire. Okay, not that this is a football podcast, but it's really, why not? We talk about whatever we want here.
There you go. it's your thing. So make it happen.
Well, I think we should get to the topic.
Let's do it.
That we announced we're going to talk about, and then maybe we'll get back to football if you guys want to talk about that. So,
in the monster role.
Yeah, in the monster role. So
yeah,
you do have a couple Facebook viewers, Jim, so whether they comment or not yet, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
That's what the stats say, so.
Okay.
I don't know. Shout out to Jim's followers.
Oh, yeah, both of them.
So how do we start this topic on hedging?
Well, let me just ask you, how do you define hedging? What is it for the actual... If you're a newbie and you don't know what hedging is, what do you tell them?
It's Boy, I never really thought about the definition. I guess it's a bet to lower your risk.
Now, is it really that? Would you really say that?
Yeah, I think. Okay. I don't know. Let's talk through this. I don't know how to.
Well, let's say.
It lowers the risk on a bet that you're trying to hedge. I could give examples. I just don't know how to describe.
So how about this? Is it like, say you had $100 out there total on the table, and it's whatever roll, and you made an additional bet of, let's say, $10 to quote unquote protect or hedge against losing the 100 all at one time.
Right.
And if whatever number you're hedging toward, that's not a good way of saying it.
It's like, so you bet on the opposite outcome.
Yeah, that's a good way.
Yeah, so, right. If your bet's on the numbers, and obviously the numbers lose with a 7, a hedge would be to bet on the 7.
Okay.
Because that would be the hedge. It would be the opposite. And what it does is, well, shoot, if I have $100 out on the numbers, if I roll that 7, I'm going to lose $100. Well, if I now bet on the 7, depending on how much I bet, I'm not going to lose 100. Well, I will. I'll lose the 100, but I'll win some with the 7, bet on the 7, this hedge bet.
Right. Okay.
So I don't know of a succinct and precise way to define this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess it's betting on the opposite outcome
of what you're betting on.
Yeah, to reduce your overall risk. And the problem is now you're introducing or adding new additional risk.
Right. You're also, what else are you doing? You're limiting
your win potential.
Your win, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're limiting the amount of money you're going to lose, why not just bet less?
That's a good question. I think the way to go through it might be to talk through some examples.
We could go through
some of the most popular hedges. But yeah, I mean, anytime that you reduce your overall risk, but now you've added risk to another number, and then you're reducing your win potential. So yeah, maybe I don't know. I mean, that's the discussion. Are you better off just making a smaller bet in the first place? Is hedging good or bad? That's what we've got to decipher today.
All right.
And figure out the answer.
We got a good comment. I know we're not.
Okay.
But we could use some help. Here it is right here. This is the one I want. Demon Dog. Reduce the likelihood of a large loss, but limits your earning potential. That's okay. Very succinct. I like that.
Yeah, he did a good job there.
Yes. So let me get off of that. So let's... You want to go with the hedging good or bad first, or which way do you want to go with this? Well, let's do with the common. Let's do with the basic.
Yeah, things. Let's do some examples.
All right. So what is the most basic hedge that you could think of?
I think where everyone starts is they make a pass line bet.
Pass line. Let's do it. All right.
So we know that it wins with a roll of 7-11.
7 or 11.
Which behind you, it says there's 8 combos to win. The other way.
Yeah, something like that. I'm sorry.
6 combos with the 7, 3 with the 11. 8 ways to win.
Right.
But you lose this bet with 2, 3, or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 4 ways to roll those, 4 different combinations.
So you have a 2-to-1 advantage on the first roll.
Huge advantage. And really the only time you have the advantage. But people don't like to lose that bet. So they don't like to lose it to the 2, 3, and 12, which is a craps bet. So they make any craps bet or a C bet, or they bet them individually, the 2, 3, and 12. There's kind of a lot of different ways, but essentially they hedge this pass line bet with a craps bet.
Okay. Now, there's a difference between those two bets, correct? And the biggest difference would be the longevity of the bet. The casino knows that the any craps bet is a one roll bet, and the pass line stays until it's resolved. So you get one shot at the 2-to-1 advantage, and then for the rest of the rolls, they have the big advantage.
Right. So, Let's just say they play any craps. It pays 7-1.
Okay.
And I don't. What table are you at? A $15 table?
Let's go 15.
$15 table. So you make a $15 pass line bet. The very first, you can win. We love the ways to win, but you can lose with 2, 3, and 12. So to hedge that, you throw, well, $1 would win 7. So that's not going to cover it. So you could throw $2 in, which would win 14.
14
almost
yeah.
covers it. You could put $3 in, and then it would win 21. I don't know. So it's kind of up to you.
Or you would just lose $3.
Yeah. So the ideal is, hey, I can't lose because if the craps number does show up, well, my bet on the craps wins. Let's say we do a $2. Yeah, I lose three rolls. I lose my $15 pass line bet, but I win 14. So I'm out $1. So it's worth it, they would say, to bet $2. Because that's worst case scenario. Best case scenario, right? You roll any number, or you win 7-11, but your craps bet loses and you're out $2. So you go, well, is it worth throwing away $2 to protect that bet?
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. If you think about it percentage-wise, again, $15 table, and you're throwing out $3 for one roll. So that's, what, 20% of your $15 bet that you're hedging with. One fifth, if you will. Which to me just adds to the, puts the pressure on that you have to win more to get that 20% back.
Well, for sure. I mean, if you look at the math, I mean, this is a math game. If you look at long-term math, it's just a bad idea. For one, you're making a hedge bet with a higher house hedge bet. You know, you go from 1.4 on the pass line to, you know, the craps is like, you know, 11 or 13%, right? So that doesn't make sense. And over time, you're going to burn through that more than just how many times. Because remember, you're only going to lose out of every 36 rolls, you're only going to lose your $15 pass line bet 4 times.
Okay.
So it mathematically, long term, it doesn't make sense to hedge.
Okay.
But you're not doing it on every roll. It's like I'm doing it for one roll. So I throw up my $3. My pass line establishes a bet. I'm not going to keep, I don't have to hedge anymore. So hopefully at that point, you know, I can roll numbers. I'm in the game.
Right.
I protected the bet for the one roll.
For one
now
roll.
I'm in the game.
All right.
I mean, that's how people look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if you make the bet and the three rolls.
You look brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Why would you make the $3 bet? Because now you've won 21. Yeah, you've lost your $15 pass line, but you've won. So brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But 32 out of 36 times, that bet's not going to do anything for you except for lose. It's just going to be an automatic
loser. All right. So that's a basic example. And by the way, I did see one of my Facebook buddies on there.
Hey, there you go.
There you go. So I just want to throw a former student from years gone by. Instead of betting less, set a win limit. That's a good philosophy. All right. So that's the basic one, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's other scenarios where people hedge.
Yeah, tons of them, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's roll through a couple more of those and see if it is worth the squeeze on the juice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's think about a couple of those. So I can think of one time when you absolutely should hedge.
Should, really? Should. That's a strong word.
There's one. Yeah, absolutely should hedge. Can anybody want to guess what it is? It's a can't lose bet, guaranteed bet when you're hedging. You're 100% hedging and you are guaranteeing a win, a victory. Anybody want to guess what that one is? Nobody's jumping on it.
I mean, I would guess that it would be a don't. It would be a don't number.
Hey, no. Tom and Demon Dog got it. Tom was the first
okay,
one.
Okay, I totally
I saw
disagree
first.
With this, by the way, but go ahead.
Okay, so here we go. So let's see if the professor is wrong on this one. So if you are at a casino where they have the ATS, the all tall, small, and let's just say you've got 555 across the top and it's 30, what is it, 150, 30, and it's about $1,000, 1100, whatever it is, right? It's right around $1,000 if you win them all, right?
Okay.
All right. So you with me? So you got one box number left.
Yeah.
It is the six, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Everybody in the casino is not talking about Fight Club, but it's right there. If the shooter rolls a six, I win $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
If he rolls a seven or she rolls a seven, I don't win anything.
Well, you've won the tall already. All no, right, you've so won you, the small. You've won,
you
the,
won
small.
The small.
That you've already locked that in. Some casinos have already paid that out, actually.
All right, so I've won 100. I'm guaranteed 150. Or if I go ahead and hedge, I could drop 500. What do you think? Is that math good? Guaranteed $1,000 win versus $150 win by hedging 500.
It's I get half small. My money back. So you've hit your tall already. Yeah.
Yeah, hit the tall. Yeah, that's what we're saying. So wouldn't that make sense? If you can guarantee $500, wouldn't you want to hedge in that situation?
How much does it cost to hedge you? You have to lay against the six for how much?
Let's just say $500 or 450 or whatever it is. Let's say $500 if you want to get that 150.
Okay, so you stand to win the small and the all, which would be $900.
And you get all tall and the small.
Right. Well, you've already hit the tall, so you get 150.
Yeah, 150 and 150.
You're going to earn
another 150.
Another 150 and 750.
And
if you hit the six. So you're going to earn 900.
No.
You've already locked
in
150.
No, it's 1,050, right? It's 1,050.
To hit them all.
Yeah, right. To hit them all.
You've locked in 150. Now the question is, if I roll the six, I get an additional 900 because I'll get paid for the
right.
Small okay. and the all.
Yes. Okay, I'm with
so
you.
So 900.
Right. So that's you should lay 450. Up. Yeah.
So you're going to lay 450 to get paid back how much?
450.
So how much do you have to lay for that? It'd be six to five. Five to six.
Oh, yeah. Hold on now. Ho.
How much do you want to win if you roll the six or if you don't roll the six? If you roll the seven, you don't make the small, tall, and all. You're not going to get paid 900.
Right.
But you're going to get paid on that lay six. How much do you want to get paid?
I want to get paid guaranteed money, let's say $400.
All right, 400.
Do I have to lay eight to get that four? Is that what you're saying?
You have to lay six to get five, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Here it is behind me. Yeah, mm-hmm. Six to five.
1.2. So 400 times 1.2. I'm not going to count the VIG.
Yeah.
So you have to essentially lay 480 to win 400.
But it's guaranteed 400.
Mm-hmm.
And guaranteed. I get my 480 back.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't I? Because if I don't lay it, right? So hedging could be potentially be a good thing.
No, it could always be potentially a good thing. But you're giving up $500.
Or, well, hold on, you say I'm giving up, but what if seven rolls, I don't get it.
All right, yeah, you'd be giving up $900. Yeah, you would not win $900. If the six rolls, you win $900. The seven rolls, you don't win $900.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you rather have one in hand better and 450 in hand?
I don't know.
Better
that's the question, right? So that's the same question when you go back to pass and craps. If the craps number rolls, you would rather have that craps bet out there, right? Because you're guaranteed protection. You're guaranteed the win. if you don't have that bet out there, see, you're thinking it's, yeah, but it's the same scenario. It really is.
All right. Because you're starting. It doesn't seem like it to me. Maybe because the number's larger.
It is. It's you have essentially like a $900 bet. It's like if the six rolls, I win $900. If the seven rolls, I don't win $900. It's like a bet. It's like a free bet, okay, promo bet, whatever you want to call it. But that's the gamble, right? Do you want to win $900? Do you want to win zero? But or you throw in the craps bet, you throw in the hedge bet. I'm gonna pay $480. I'm gonna bet $480. Okay, so if you bet $480 and the six rolls, well, now you win. You only win $420.
Oh boy, yeah. I've been in that position. I never do it. I never hedge because.
We went right for the big topic, by the way. There's smaller hedging.
I'm sorry.
But a lot of people have this question because this is when the discussion is primarily people talk about hedging. They go, well, what about the ATS? So it's a great discussion. But yeah, so now if you do bet the 480 and it loses,
you limit your win potential.
Yeah, you limited your win to only 420 instead of 900. Well, you're talking about one dice combination. So do you want to secure, lock in the 400, or do you want to go for 900?
Well, in practice, I never lock it in. I always go for it because I'm hoping for the best, the positive vibes. I've never done it.
Yeah.
But and I would say more often than not, I think I've won doing that, but sometimes no. But then again, if I've lost, I've only lost. I haven't lost it. Yeah, exactly.
And you've only instead of winning 900, you win 420. That's it.
420. Yeah, and I'm still a winner in my book.
Yeah, you just won 420.
Yeah. So
and the other way, if the other number runs, you win 400. So you can't lose, right? So that's where people are like.
So that's the only time you should do it.
But
go ahead.
Yeah, it's the same thing on the pass line. It's like when people make their any craps bet, they're like, I can't lose.
Well,
you know what I mean? So
you can't lose, but you can lose $3 or whatever it is, you know, when you do I guess.
I mean, but that's like saying, well, you're going to lose 480. If the six rolls, you're going to lose 480. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, it's part of the hedge bet. It's the cost of the hedging.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's certainly a decision. Some people talk about, hedge it. And for me, I'm like, you're already there. Just go for it. Like,
okay.
But for me, I'm not betting 5-5-5 to start with. I mean, I'm usually like 1-2-1 or 2-1-1 or, you know, just because I'm a cheapskate or 1-1-1 and then the dealer's 1-1-1. So I'm only looking at, you know, $150.
Okay.
So it's not like, you know, I think mentally the numbers do play a difference. You're like, dang, $900 or nothing. And that's where you're like, all right, so I throw in 480 and I'm guaranteed 400 or 420.
Yeah. And I think some of it depends on how much you've lost already.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or where you stand on that.
So it's like, do I want to guarantee 400 or 420 or do I go for it? 900 or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, your odds are pretty good at 6-5, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're right there. It's almost a coin.
Almost even. But not.
And how exciting is it when it hits and you didn't throw out 480? It's like, sir, you just hit them all. $900 coming your way. How much better is that than being like, sir, you didn't, but your 480 bet wins you 400.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone else lost.
Some of them pay it out at the end. So you might get everybody
400 plus your 150.
Yeah, 150. Yeah, from the other side and all. Yeah. But anyway, that was the big one. I didn't mean to go right for the headshot.
No, it's good. It's good. But that one is a decision. But I think you're twisting it because it's not either or.
It's not a pure.
No, because I would say, because I would say, like, if you're on the don't, because some people would say, okay, you make a don't pass of $25, mm-hmm. the point becomes nine. Well, if you make a $20 place bet, you can't lose. If the seven rolls,
then
you lose the $20 place right. bet and you win 25. Cool.
Right.
So okay. you're up positive $5. If the nine rolls, you lose your don't of 25, mm-hmm. but your $20 pays 28. Can't okay. lose.
Yeah.
The problem is, yes, you're guaranteed a $3 or $5 payout, but the problem is.
Right. So yeah, is that sustainable? Yeah.
Well, it's the same math. It's like, except for instead of 25 and 20, now it's like 900. It's like, well, you're going to bet 480.
Right. Okay.
It's the same thing. Cause you're like, well, I guaranteed my winner. You did, but you limited your, because your don't pass should win 25. But now you took that guaranteed or that 25 likely win. Right. And now you've cut it down to $3 or $5. So you've, if you hedge your ATS, you've cut your $900 win down to 420 max. Like
now this one, this, I know we're not talking necessarily comments, but this was a one that I wanted to bring up, and I know it's not the monster roll, but he says he heard it shooter crap says heard it was a good bet when you bet on the first bet, and then it's a great bet when you only need it. The one time, you know, I guess that's for that come out roll to protect your box number money if you're working or something, that kind of thing is what he's talking about. But I don't know that to me, when you hedge on a pass line bet, to me, you're giving up your 2-to-1 advantage or you're giving up your,
well, you're cutting into the potential profits. It's just like yeah. the ATS. See, it's the same thing. You're cutting in that $900 win. You're cutting into that. What's your bet? $25 on the pass line? You're cutting into that $25. Why do that? Well,
yeah.
You know,
if you're going to gamble, you gamble. Yeah, you're going to gamble.
Yeah, so
you're gonna gamble.
It's just funny, you know, depending on the levels. Okay, Jim, you got a $100 pass line bet. You're bumping up in stakes.
Woo.
You interested in hedging it a little bit? What if I said, well, now you're bumping up to a $500 pass line bet? It's only going to cost you, you know, a small percentage of that.
Yeah, but I guess because
for one roll,
I can't even do this.
One roll.
Jeremy, I can't do this kind of stuff on a fantasy craps table, and you're jumping me up on a $500.
Well, I'm just saying it. I'm just saying because of the bigger numbers, it affects you more.
It plays your mind. Yeah. It would. So, I don't know.
Because it hurts. It hurts more. The math
stings.
Says, hey, don't do it.
But it stings.
But it, yeah. I mean, and then again, like we mentioned earlier, you look like a genius if you did it.
That's true.
So what other hedges we got? So
you got the pass line and don't pass. How about the do we don't people, you know?
Yeah, I don't hear
kind
about
of
that all that much. It is a hedge. Mm-hmm. It's a more expensive hedge. But you cover a lot more numbers. So there's, once you do a do we don't, which is the same amount on the pass and don't, the only way you can lose is a 12. Mm-hmm. So you've narrowed it down to one dice combo. But, you know, there's really no, I mean, people do that because they hate losing on the first roll. They want to get into the game.
Right.
The weird thing about it is 33% of the time, one third of the time, the game is over on the come out roll, right? You're gonna win or lose or establish a point. You're gonna win or lose though,
mm-hmm.
a third of the time. So
because those combinations, those combinations add up to
12 combos.
Yeah,
out of the 36, you're gonna win or lose. So that's why people are like, a large percent of the time, a third of the time, you're gonna win or lose, and people are like, I don't want my game to be like that. So they'll do an any craps, or they'll do a do we don't, just so they can get a point established, and then they're in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like the game could
last
longer.
You could last longer. Yeah. You protect.
But I mean, the odds are still the same because now you can just lose, you know, 1 in 6 rolls, right? But you know, they just hate doing they hate the game being one roll, and that's what it is on the come out roll.
For the good or the bad.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people will do a doey doey. I don't see that as or hear about that as much anymore. I do see a lot of, and I do this sometimes for particular reasons.
On the cruise?
The cruise. Because I don't care about earning money. I care about time. And so what a hedge does, yes, it does limit your losses, but it also or limits your potential win, but it limits your losses a little bit and you can tread water longer. Mm-hmm. So a lot of strategies I'm seeing lately, people start out on the don't pass and then they make, you know, let's just say $100 don't pass. And then once the point's established, then they maybe bet $100 on the numbers. And that way, if they can roll some numbers, they can make money. And if the seven rolls, yes, you lose your $100 in place bets, but you win on the don't.
Right.
So I see a lot of strategies submitted to me lately that include this type of hedge, the don't pass hedge.
But even with those don't passes, when you talk about the pass line bet, even with a don't pass and don't come, that one third still follows through. And that's what I think a lot of...
That's a huge underdog. So opposite of the pass line where you're 2-1, mm-hmm. Well, they eliminate the 12. So right, now you're a 3-8 underdog.
Yes.
So it's very likely you're going to lose that bet. And so now what do you got to do, Jim? You got to hedge your hedge.
You hedge some more. A rehedge.
So you lose if the don't loses against the 7-11. Now you're making hop sevens or any seven bet. You're covering the 11, the yo.
Yeah.
You're hedging your hedge. Yeah.
Yeah. $2. And what's another $2?
What's another two bucks? You're hedging your hedge. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. There's a lot of hedging going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, how about the other hedge with covering, the hard ways? Let's talk about some people hedge with the hard ways. Mm-hmm. Cut down a couple of combinations with that.
Real popular bet is like a lay 10 or lay 4 bet, right? So you're betting against the number. You're betting that a 7 comes before the 4.
Mm-hmm.
Those pay 1-2. So $100 bet on the 4. You win 50.
Okay.
If the 4 rolls, though, you're going to lose 100. But people like this bet because there's only 3 ways to roll the 4.
Right.
But if we bet on the hard 4 and hedge it.
That's one of those 3.
Right, what is it? Is it 9-1 or 7-1? I forget which one the 4 is.
I got it on my table. 4 is 7-1 on a 4. 7-1.
Okay. So to win 50 some bucks. You know, you got to bet like $8, $8 hedge.
Yeah.
So $8 eliminates that combo. But if, you know, if the hard 4 comes, then you win 56. You'd have to hedge more because you got a potential loss of 100. So you'd have to bet like 15.
Yeah.
Would win.
$10 would win 70.
That'd win 105.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd have to bet 15.
And you still have the potential. You still have the potential of having the other combinations roll of the 4.
Yeah, so you've eliminated from 3 combos down to 2, but they could still lose.
Right.
And then if you do roll the 3-1, not only do you lose your $100 bet, you lose that $15 hard way bet too. It's hard way.
So salt into the wounds. Yeah, twisting the knife.
It's always a gamble, but people are like, you know, I'll take my chances because. The 7, there's 6 ways. If I do the 4, there's 3. And if I hedge it, now there's 2. There's only 2 ways to lose my money.
Mm-hmm.
So people just, they like that dice combination game.
Yes.
Mathematically, you know, now you got an 11% bet over there. And, you know, a lay bet's actually a good bet. If the VIG's only on a win, I think it's in the 1% range. So that's a good bet. But, if the 4, if the 3-1 or the 1-3 rolls, it's a bad bet.
Right.
If the 7 rolls, hey, you're in good shape. Or, you know, if the hard 4 rolls, you're in good shape. But if only we could see the future. But that's what hedging comes down to. It's like, where do you, because somewhere you're going to get bet. No matter, even with a hedge of a hedge,
yes,
you're going to get bet. So you're moving, you're shuffling the risk around to different numbers, and that comes down to like a lot of times it's like personal experience. I know I talked to Holy Roller. He's mm-hmm. the big craps guy who likes to do right. the big don't pass hedge. He never hedges it. Sometimes he does it with free play, but he doesn't like it just because he doesn't feel like he gets knocked off on it. And other people are like, I always hedge it because I always get knocked off on it. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like your history in your mind, some confirmation bias there, also tells you like, well, I rarely see the 10, so I might as well put a hedge on the 10. Or kind of help. It kind of leads your decision, I think.
One of the things that we had on here was we talked about psychological comfort versus financial efficiency. It is the psychology of having $100 out there and feeling like you can do something to lower the risk or lower the what chances of you just blowing that whole thing away. And it's only going to cost you 15% of the $100 or whatever. I don't know. To me, if you're going to gamble, you just gamble.
Until you get to a $900 ATS, and then you're not willing to gamble, Jim.
No, I need that sure money because I got to have an Uber home or, you know, back to the hotel or whatever. Right. Now, I don't know. But even then, I talk a good game, but I don't do it.
It's because you're that mind game. That's what you're talking about. Yeah, that comfort levels. You're like, man, I can walk away. Why walk away with nothing when I can walk away with $400?
Yeah,
that's exactly. A big deal.
It is a big deal, but for whatever reason, I see some people do it, but again, it might get down to your personal session at that time. And I know somebody else, I think it was Demon Dog, said, hey, when you leave with more money at the end of the hand than you came in, then it's a win, right? You know, I think that's that was one of his comments earlier. So you want to leave with more money. I mean, that's the objective of the game. Right.
So the question is, if you hedged and it protected those potential losses, maybe you decrease your overall win, but you still walk away with a win. But if you don't hedge, maybe you have a bigger win. Maybe you lose it all. Like, I guess it's just kind of personal. Let me ask you a quick, bring this another way.
Okay.
How many times or have you ever totaled your car? And had like insurance cover it and pay for it and stuff.
A couple times with my son and my wife when they were driving. Yes.
How much do you hate paying insurance premiums?
100%. 100%.
Right, because it's like.
And then when you get down to it, well, I remember one time they said, "Hey, it's." I objected to the amount of money they were going to give me for the total replacement. Mm-hmm. And they said, it's going to be, $4,000. And we see these cars, used cars all over the place for $4,000. I said, really? I said, you see them? Bring one in my driveway and you don't even have to. Just pull it up into the driveway and just give me the keys. Because what they're offering is never what I can get in the marketplace. You know, I hate paying it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a great analogy because, you know, a lot of people have had bad experiences with insurance companies because their goal is not to pay out. Right.
So, right. That's what they do.
And then,
like the casino.
Yeah. The casino, their goal is not to, but, you know, begrudgingly, the math is the math and they have to pay out the hedge, whatever it is. They can't like renegotiate with you and be like, you know, I know that the, any 7 pays 4-1, but today, you know, we only see it as a value of 3-1 or something. You know what I mean? So, but the point I was trying to make is like, once the kid totaled it and you didn't have to come out of your pocket for 4,000,
right?
You're like, oh, kind of glad I had insurance, I guess.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, it sucks. And for people who like, I haven't had an accident 20 years. It's like year after year after year, I'm paying it. Like, I hate hedging policy.
Yeah.
Because it never pays off. But like, if I was constantly using it, I'd be like, heck yeah, I want insurance because I know next week my kid's going to crash my car again.
Yes. Yes.
Like, of course I'm going to. So your past history, I think that psychological plays a lot into it. It's like, My wife is a terrible driver. My kid's a terrible driver. Yes, give me all the insurance I you could give me, because those Yahoos are going to screw me if you don't. So,
I wish it's insurance. There was a way.
Hedging is insurance.
Insurance, self-insuring.
Yeah, it's great if when it works. It's a waste of money when it's not needed.
Yeah, when you don't. Yeah, every month that you don't make a claim on it, and you never get back what you. Actually, the analogy holds true. You never get back what you have already put out, and what's the value of the car at that particular moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, they have great mathematicians that always keep the rates just above, so they don't lose money. They're making. Joe said this one.
Okay.
Auto and homeowners insurance provides peace of mind. You never want to have a homeowner's insurance claim.
Absolutely.
So that's what people are like. Joe. I want peace of mind. I don't want to worry about losing my Pastline bet.
Psychological comfort.
$3, any craps bet, peace of mind. I don't have to worry about it. I'll let it establish a point. Hey, game's on. Little peace of mind, $2, plenty worth it. It's up to you, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. Is that insurance worth it to you for that peace of mind? Because you could still get burnt. I mean, for, you know, one, the hedge loses and the points established to a five, and then you immediately seven out, and now your pass line bet loses. Well, now you've lost the pass line and the hedge. You've lost the insurance. You lost everything.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, like, the don't. You know, they go, well, now you got a hedge to 7-11. Okay, so let's say the five rolls. Well, now all my hedge is lost. And then the five rolls back. I roll the point. Now I lost my don't. What the heck? I'm losing which way.
Exactly.
So you're shifting things for peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That for peace of mind, that's psychological comfort.
Yeah, peace of mind. I think you
100% on that one. Can you think of any other real-life scenarios where that haven't covered?
We talked about the don't. We talked about the pass line. The big one is the 4 and 10, which people kind of use as a hedge. The ATS is the big one.
ATS is a big one. How about anything with the couple of your strategies that you mentioned? Like, when you switched the – I remember one you had where it switched from 7 being the bad number to you switched the risk to the 5. You remember that one? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, it was like an Iron Cross or something.
Like an Iron Cross thing, and instead of
it's the same thought process as the 4 and 10. So essentially you have to make a bet. You lay on the 4, right? So if you make a big enough lay bet that wins with the 7, but you don't want the 5 to roll, so now you've moved the risk from the 7 to the 5. It's the same thing. If you make a lay bet on the 4, you've moved the risk from the 7 to the 4. The difference is the payback, right? It's the payback, unfortunately, on the 4 is only 1 to 2. So you got to bet more. The 5 and 9, the payback is 2 to 3. So
you
bet 75 to win 50. If you make a don't pass, the great thing about it, if you get past that first roll, it pays 1 to 1.
Right.
So you're like, I mean, that's the best way to do it. And that's why it has a low house edge, and, you know, a lot of people do it, but you got to get past that roll. But yeah, certainly dice combos, the 7's always 6. So a lot of people like to, hey, let me move it to a number that has less ways to roll. It costs me more.
Right.
It will cost you more, but no, there's less combinations if you move it to the 5 or the 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Demon Dog's throwing it up. 6, 7, 8 might have been the name of it, I guess. And we got some other ones that I think we'll talk about during the monster roll with Joe on that one. I guess it boils down to if you're playing to win big or if you're just trying not to lose as much, but it's definitely limiting what you've got. I think it limits your win whenever you try to do the hedge. And just like, I think a car insurance is a good analogy. I don't think you ever get back your true potential for whatever little money
long-term,
that you're
bad play.
Yeah. It's a bad play, and it's high, increased house edge with a, So it's, I don't know, it's just like the fees of the table go up when they jump on the hedging on that. And again, what are you, if you've got that money out there you're trying to protect, maybe you shouldn't be gambling with money that you need to protect. You know what I mean? I to me, just like gamble less or lower the amounts on there.
That's true. That's why I was talking about earlier about the pass line bet, like 10, 15. I'm never hedging that, right? Neither are you.
Right. It's 15 25. Bucks.
You know, I'm still 100,
500,
500. Yeah, now I'm like, oh, I'm a little sweaty. Maybe, you know, it's only this much for insurance. Maybe I should, because I don't want to lose it on one roll, Jim.
Yeah.
So it is personality based. I think a lot of it, it's a lot of mental. It is not a winning, you're never going to hedge your way to a win, ultimately. Let me see if I.
Well, I mean, you said there were a couple ways that you could, but even then, it's not 100%.
But not overall, like the math, overall, long term.
It's not going to work out.
Yes, and so that's where I kind of like, because we don't play long term. We play on the weekend. We play for 3 hours. So you know what? If you threw in that hedge and it worked twice, and you didn't lose it, 8 or 12 out of 36 times, hey, the hedge was a smart play, right?
Right.
It just depends on how the dice go at the time. But, like, sure, if you look back on your session and the hedge wasted you, you know, you played it 10 times and you lost it all 10 times, you know, maybe you could figure it out. But how much is your peace of mind worth, you know, like the guy earlier mentioned? So, yeah, I don't mind people doing it because – We play a short term game, so long term, yeah, you really shouldn't do it. Just, but on the other hand, it's like if it gives you peace of mind and it works out in the short term, how can I argue with that?
Yeah, I don't do it for my personality, and there's a lot of
except
people
for the
who
ATS.
Like the head, except for the ATS mentally, but I never do it. But okay, that is the one time. The one time you should do it, though, right?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think should. Okay. I think it just comes down to decision.
Okay.
But yeah.
But
do you want to gamble?
One in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? Because it's basically a 2-to-1. Isn't that the old adage? One in the hand is worth two in the bush. 400 in hand is better than 1,000.
But again, we're at a gambling game. Like, if you don't want to lose your $25 pass line bet, don't gamble.
Yeah. Don't gamble.
I mean, we're gambling. So do you want to win $900 or do you want to win 420? It's like, or 400, like, sure. Consider yourself locked in your hand 400 or playing nothing and just walk away. I don't know.
Like I said, I think it depends on what's happened previously. Like if you've been wiped out or you're down to your last, you know, whatever.
That's real short-term history. You know, I've mentioned or you've mentioned, both of us, of long-term history. You know, man, all year long, I always lose on the four or whatever. But yeah, the last 30 minutes, dang, I'm down. Could alter your decision. Dang, I'm trying this strategy that starts with $100 don't, and I've been knocked off it twice. Do you hedge it now? Well, I just got knocked off of it twice. Like,
well, next time you're due, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's
could be
short
the
term. Could
Again, each roll of the dice is independent. Yeah.
To each his own, I guess. I mean, it's definitely, I'm going to say there's no right or, I will say there is a right answer long term mathematically, and that would be don't hedge. But I certainly can't convince you that you're doing the wrong thing whenever we're playing a short-term game over a couple hours. You know, it just, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So I'm not gonna fault you if you hedge, but
To me, it's just so much stuff going on. I've seen so many strategies that are like, do this, hedge with this, hedge with that, hedge with this. And you're betting 30 minutes, you know, it takes 30 minutes to get all the bets booked, you know, and you're working the poor dealer to death. And then your money's all gone, and you don't even have any money to tip the dealer. You know, it's just sad. It's just sad.
Yeah, but sometimes simple is better. But it is fun. Part of the game is you can do all that crazy stuff to, you know, you've got $200 out there on the board, and you know you're maximum win potential is $10, you know, because of all your hedges of hedges hedges. You know, if you want to play that way, knock yourself out, I guess.
Go for it. Go for it. Again, if you're playing for time, you're playing for comps. Yeah, totally right. Understand that. Different world.
Yeah, different goal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So, anything else that we didn't cover on the subject?
Well, I was getting ready. I don't see anything else that we had on here. Summing it up, it says, you know, hedging strategies can offer some safety and maybe even a little comfort, but it's at a cost, and it's always at the cost of your potential winnings of that session and long term if you're playing. Any other final thoughts on hedging before we get to the monster roll?
No, I think we covered up, and we'll see if other people have other things to add to it that maybe change your mind. But yeah, to me, you know, I don't know.
So to hedge or not to hedge, are you hedging? Do you typically hedge a lot?
No. No. Well, I do on cruise ships. I do this. I do kind of a don't or a lay for
the light and darkness thing.
Yeah, the opposite. Right, yeah. You know, I'm betting opposite. I'm trying to equal half my bets don't, half my bets on the light side, and kind of washes out a little bit. Okay. So it lowers my volatility, but it significantly, if I have a good roll, it lowers my win potential. So.
You know, so would you rather you're doing it to win the cruise versus winning money?
Yeah. At the cruise, I'm all about time at table.
Okay.
And large bets and time at table. So my average bet per hour, where at a casino, I just don't feel like the comps are worth playing that way. So there, I'd rather win 500 than spend 3 hours with my average bet being $200. I don't care. I'd rather... my average bet be 30, and if a monster roll hits, I take advantage of it, press my bets, and win. You know, walk out with 500. Mm-hmm. So it's just different goal.
I'm the same way. I don't hedge, but if you want to hedge and it's your money, like I said, light or dark side, not to each his own. Everybody can do whatever you want to do at the table, and I'm pulling for everybody. I'm pulling for everybody. So, but anyway, that's
makes
all
a great
I really
game.
Had.
Game,
the camaraderie.
Great. There's a lot of options. So
yeah,
whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat. You know.
Yeah, so. I would be stupid to say that's a bad idea. You should do that because it's gambling. It's all a bad idea, right?
Exactly. It's a bad idea to walk into casino. Right.
Right. Exactly. Unless you're the owner, it's a bad idea probably.
Yeah.
But it's certainly fun, and especially when we win, so.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.